want to acknowledge a generous sponsorship for this evening's shiurim by Sharon and Alan Leibowitz, Le'ilu Nishmas, Alan's parents, Avraham Moshe ben Yona Yehuda, and Devorah Bas Yisrael. And we hope that they will have an aliyah on Hashemah from our Divrei Torah this evening. So, over the last couple of weeks, I've been fielding many, many questions regarding those who are traveling to Eretz Yisrael when there's a Kriyas HaTorah, Parshas HaShavua discrepancy, as we find ourselves in now. We're going to explain it in a minute, how it happened. So let's break down the issues. Let's try to understand a little bit about what's behind this, why we ended up in this place, and why we don't fix it for 14 weeks. 14 weeks is quite a long time. And there are other opportunities and junctures along the way where we could have fixed this discrepancy, and we could have had Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz being on the same calendar and the same Parsha. But for some reason, we seem to wait a very long time till Parshas Matos Masei in order to catch up. So let's begin as follows. This phenomenon only happens the way we have it now in a Shana Mu'uberes. For those who are calendar junkies and love to think about such calculations, there are very good reasons why it only happens in a Shana Mu'uberes. But the story basically is that when you have a leap year and you have the last day of Pesach, which is for us the eighth day of Pesach, and in Eretz Yisrael, the last day of Pesach is the seventh day. So if the eighth day of Pesach falls out to be on Shabbos, then there's going to be a discrepancy. Why? Because we have to lane Kriyas HaTorah that is designated for Yom Tov. And in Eretz Yisrael, it's no longer Yom Tov, so they're just laning the regular Shabbos Parsha. And therefore, we have this inequality. We have in Eretz Yisrael, they lane Parshas Acharei Mos, which means the next week, they are laning Kedoshim, and we are laning Acharei Mos, and we keep on trying to catch up. Now, basically, this is the way it is, and we continue with this asymmetrical, with this uneven balance of Parshas HaShavua for a couple of weeks. It's 14 weeks that we wait until Parshas Matos Masei, which is in the beginning of Chodesh Av, and we don't catch up any time before. Obviously, the most basic place where we could have caught up is the very next Shabbos after Pesach. We could have just joined Acharei Mos Kedoshim together, and then the very next Shabbos, B'nei Chutz Laretz and B'nei Eretz Yisrael would have no problem at all. So that's what I want to understand. And the second question that many people have been asking is, now that we have this discrepancy, and let's assume that it makes sense, as we're going to see in a minute, why it is this way, let's assume that it makes sense, then we have a further question, and that is, if I happen to be one of those individuals who was traveling to Eretz Yisrael in this time of the year, and now I'm going to miss a Parsha, because when I get there, they're going to be up to the next week, do I need to do anything? Do I need to try to make up that Parsha? Or perhaps you say, if you miss it, that is fine, and you move on with life. So let us try to understand the background, the development of this issue, and try to gain an appreciation for what it's all about. In order to understand it, we first need to take a step back. It so happens that the Takana of Kriyas HaTorah was something that was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara tells us it was reinstituted by Ezra HaSofer. So the Psukim tell us that the Bnei Yisrael were going for 3 days below Matzu Mayim. Chazal say from there we learn, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. The reason why they were thirsty is because nobody was learning Torah. As a result of that, Moshe Rabbeinu makes a institution that from here on in, that is never going to happen again, because we're going to make sure that there's Kriyas HaTorah every Monday, every Thursday, and every Shabbos. So you cannot have 3 days without at least some minimal Limud HaTorah. Now the assumption is that we're going to be showing up to do the Limud HaTorah in Shul. We're going to be showing up to do the Kriyas HaTorah. Not everybody has that opportunity, but that was the understanding. And Moshe Rabbeinu assumed that everybody would fulfill their obligation of Talmud Torah. It so happens, the Prima Gadim has a question, and that is, why is it that we assume that we needed Kriyas HaTorah to be there in order to fulfill this obligation of Limud HaTorah every day? What about the fact that we say Kriyas Shema every day? We have a mitzvah min HaTorah every day to recite Kriyas Shema every day in the morning, every evening at night, and that really should suffice for Limud HaTorah. Now again, you're not going to become the world's greatest Talmud Chacham by saying Kriyas Shema every day. You're not going to know anything. But still, as far as the mitzvah of Chiyuv Talmud Torah, shouldn't that suffice? That's a question of the Prima Gadim. It's a question for another time, but something interesting to think about. So it so happens we have the institution of Kriyas HaTorah, Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. However, the way we understand it is not always the way it was. In Eretz Yisrael, the custom was that they had a cycle of 3 years. It consisted of 3 years where they used to start in Parshas Bereishis. They would read a part of Parshas Bereishis, a third of the Parsha. The next week they would continue with the second third of the Parsha. The third week they would complete the third third of the Parsha. And therefore, over a 3 year span, they would have a Siyum HaTorah at the end of 3 years. As we know, that is not the minhag that we have today. In Bavel, they did not have the same practice. They did not have the same minhag as they had in Eretz Yisrael. In Bavel, they had the same minhag as we have today, which is that we complete the Torah every year on Simchas Torah, and we read one parsha each week. That is the way that that used to go. The Rambam goes through it, and he says as follows, HaMinhag HaPashut B'chol Yisrael, writes the Rambam, at this point in history, the standard, general, typical minhag that you find in all the Jewish communities is that we finish the Torah B'Shana Achas, we finish the entirety of Torah once a year, every year. We start the first Shabbos after Sukkot, and we read Parshas Bereishis. The next Shabbos we read Noach, the rest, the next Shabbos we read Lech Lecha, and he says we keep going until we get to the next Sukkot, and then we complete the Torah. And he says there are those who have this minhag of doing every 3 years, and he says Ve'eno minhag pashut, that is not the minhag that we find to be the prevalent custom at all. We know that we do a Simchas HaTorah once a year when we make a siyum on the Torah on Simchas Torah. Okay, then the Rambam additionally adds on a few other factors that we're going to have to look into. Ezra tikin lahem liYisrael shehu korin klalu shebesefer vayikra kodem atzeres. Writes the Rambam, not only did Ezra and Moshe Rabbeinu tell us that we have to lay in every Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, that sounds easy enough, you can keep track of which parsha you're up to, not so bad. However, the Rambam adds, based on a Gemara, that Ezra also told us that there are certain considerations, certain factors that we always need to keep in mind in the cycle of Kriyas HaTorah. For example, number one, Ezra said that you have to read Parshas Bechukosai before Shavuos. What's that all about? We'll see in a minute. And he says you have to read Parshas Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah. Why? What's that about? And he says we're always supposed to read Parshas Bamidbar before Shavuos as well. And Va'eschanan is supposed to be read after Tisha B'Av. So the Rambam gives us all these other factors, all these other calculations, and you start getting all confused. Well, how am I supposed to do that? First of all, you have to ask yourself, if you were living in Eretz Yisrael and you had the minhag only to read a third of the parsha every week, and it wasn't one parsha per week, so I ask you, how could it possibly be that we rigged the calendar that every year before Shavuos we're going to get to Parshas Bamidbar? You're not going to get to it for another year and a half, correct? In our system, it makes sense. You can rig the calendar in such a way to make sure that certain parshios end up before certain Yamim Tovim, or right afterward. But here, if you have a system where you're only finishing the Torah once every 3 years, then the Mefarshim asks, how does it make sense that Ezra HaSofer instituted that you have to do certain parshios at certain times of the year? If I'm off the cycle, and I'm in year two instead of year three, or year one instead of year three, then I'm not going to get there. So how can that be? So the answer they give is, the same way that we read Parsha Zachar and Parshas Para, which is superimposed on top of the Parshas HaShavua. We have the regular Parshas HaShavua. On top of that, we make an extra aliyah for Parsha Zachar or Parshas Para. That is what the B'nai Eretz Yisrael used to do as well. When they had the regular Parshas HaShavua, they read that. But when they got to these considerations of Ezra, Parshas Ve'eschanan and Parshas Bechukosai and Kisavo, they used to add an extra aliyah, and they would take out a different Sefer Torah and read from that additional Parsha based on the instructions of Ezra HaSofer. Very interesting historical story, but basically the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Chav Ches quotes all of this in the name of the Gaonim, in the name of the Rishonim, and he gives us a mnemonic device. What is the mnemonic that he gives? He says a three-word Siman. Number one, it's Manu V'Atzru. We're going to say in a minute what that is. Number two, Tzumu V'Tzalu. Number three, Kumu V'Taku. Now, the mnemonic device helps if you know what any of that means. If you have no idea what it means, then it doesn't help you at all. You're working so hard to figure out what the siman is. But here, let's explain what it is. The explanation of the siman is as follows. Manu va'atzru. What does manu va'atzru mean? Manu means you should count. Va'atzru means you should stop. La'atzor means to stop. But that's another way to say, well, how do we refer to Shavuos in the Torah? Atzeres. So manu va'atzru means you should count, and then you should celebrate Atzeres. You should celebrate Shavuos. What does that mean? Well, Parshas Bamidbar is all about counting. We count the Jewish people. And therefore, the Gemara says that we should try to read Parshas Bamidbar right before Shavuos. Why should we do that? Tosis, the Rishonim, is a big Tosis that discusses this in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Why should we do such a thing? Well, Tosis explains as follows. Really, the operative factor here is Parshas Bechukosai has the Tochacha, as we know. Now, what does the Tochacha have anything to do with Shavuos? So the story goes as follows. The Gemara tells us that there are four periods in the year that are considered to be a Rosh Hashanah of sorts. So we're familiar with one of them. Rosh Hashanah for us is when all the Jews all over the world, when the whole world is actually judged. That's in Tishrei. What are the other Rosh Hashanahs? So the Mishnah tells us there, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that on Pesach we are judged on the Tvua. On Shavuos we are judged on Peros HaIlan. It is determined on Shavuos how well the fruits are going to do in the next season. On Rosh Hashanah, as we know Rosh Hashanah, that is when all humanity is judged. And finally, B'chag, on Sukkot, is when we are Nidon al Hamayim. That is when it is determined when we're going to have water, which is just an interesting phenomenon, because if we as human beings are judged on Rosh Hashanah, which we call Rosh Hashanah, I would have assumed that all of this would be part of the package. Meaning, if I'm a farmer, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided whether or not I should have a Parnassah this year, well then included in that is whether I'm going to have Tvua, and whether or not I'm going to have fruits. So what does it mean? The Ribono Shel Olam judged me as an individual on Rosh Hashanah. It seems that there are some aspects of my judgment that are still lingering for other times in the year. Be it as it may, the Gemara assumes that since this is considered to be a new cycle, a new Rosh Hashanah, a new opportunity on Shavuos, therefore we want to get the Klala out of the way. Tachel Shana uBerchoseha, Tichle Shana veKilaloseha. Let's get all the Klala out of the way. Let's read Parshas B'chukosai before Shavuos. Let's get it behind us, and we're going to start a new year on a happy, on a positive note. We're not going to be down from all this terrible klala. So really, the operative word here is we have to read Parshas B'chukosai before Shavuos. Now, we don't want to go into Shavuos being depressed, because we just read all the Tochacha, and it's so terrible, and it's a horrible forecast of what's going to happen to the Jewish people, so we want to have a buffer. So we always make sure to have Bamidbar as the buffer between Shavuos and Parshas B'chukosai. So that is why the Gemara says, Manu va'atzru means Parshas Bamidbar should always be right before Shavuos, really because Parshas B'chukosai is supposed to be before, but we want to bump it up 1 week to make sure you have some kind of small buffer between the Tochacha and Shavuos. Okay, that is the reason for that. Number two, Tzomu v'tzalu, that is a reference to the Tzom of Tisha B'Av. We fast on Tisha B'Av, and then Tzalu means we should daven, we should pray. What is that? Parshas Va'eschanan is read after Tisha B'Av every year. Why is that? Number one, because Parshas Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu admonishing the Jewish people, giving them Musar, rebuking them. And we want to read that before Tisha B'Av to remind ourselves it's a serious time of the year. We should always focus on what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us back then. So we want to read Parshas Devarim right before Tisha B'Av. We want to follow it with Parshas Va'eschanan. Why? Because Parshas Va'eschanan is once again reminding us of Kabbalah Satorah. We read the Aseres Hadibros in Parshas Va'eschanan. Parshas Va'eschanan also talks about the inyan of tefillah, talks about Moshe Rabbeinu offering a tefillah. We want to remind ourselves, even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we have the opportunity to still dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connect with Him that way. And even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we still need to remind ourselves that we need to keep to all the mitzvot HaTorah. And that's why we always read Va'eschanan right after Tisha B'Av. That is the siman in Shulchan Aruch, Tzomu v'tzalu. You should first fast, which should be followed by the opportunity to talk about the parsha that refers to davening. And finally, Kumu v'taku, the Shulchan Aruch says. What's that about? Kumu means stand up. Which parsha is about standing up? Parshas Nitzavim. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. The whole Jewish people was in a position where they were standing. Why do we read that before Rosh Hashanah, says the Shulchan Aruch? The reason why is because Nitzavim is all about Shuvah. Right? Lo Neflesi Mimcha V'lo Rechokahi. It's all about Shuvah, and therefore we say that Nitzavim should be read right before Rosh Hashanah. And additionally, because we have the second Tochacha, Kisavo is the second Tochacha, we have the same idea. Tichla Shana V'Kilaloseha. Get all those curses out of the way. We don't want to start the new year with curses. So we're going to read Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah, but we don't want to come into Rosh Hashanah depressed. So we're going to have Kisavo, followed by Nitzavim, which is then going to lead us directly into Rosh Hashanah. That is what all this is about. Based on all of this calculation, very interesting calculation, based on all of that, the Magen Avraham quotes from some earlier Achronim in the early 1600s, where he writes that basically that is the answer to this question. Why is it that when Chutz La'aretz, they have the opportunity to catch up with B'nai Eretz Yisrael Parshas Acharimos Kedoshim right after Pesach, why don't we do it right away? Why don't we catch up the next Shabbos after Pesach? The answer is, because then it's going to throw off the calendar. We're not going to have the opportunity to have Parshas B'chukosai 2 weeks before Shavuos, and Parshas Bamidbar right before Shavuos. We're going to be off, and therefore we're going to wait. In Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be off anyway. They're going to have 2 weeks before Shavuos, so they're going to be off the count anyway, correct? If they're one parsha ahead of us, that means they're going to read B'chukosai 2 weeks before Yantiv, Bamidbar 1 week before Yantiv, Naso the week of Yantiv itself, and then why don't we just do the same thing? The answer is that's B'di'evit. The Achronim say that is B'di'evit. The right way to do it is we should have the calendar set the way we have it, which is B'chukosai, 2 weeks before Shavuos. B'midbar, the week before Shavuos. And then you go directly into the Yom Tif, which is exactly what the Magen Avraham explains. Okay, so far that settles why we don't fix it up. Parshas Acharei Mos Kedoshim. But you can ask a further question. What's the next opportunity? Chukas Balak. Why do we wait? Chukas Balak is in the beginning of Chodesh Tammuz. Why do we wait till the beginning of Chodesh Av, which is 4 weeks later, for Parshas Matos Masei? That's the last chance, the last opportunity. So how do you explain that? Why don't we catch up 4 weeks earlier? And then only have a 10-week disparity between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz? Good question. So this question is asked also by the Magen Avraham. He gives a technical answer, but the answer that I found very fascinating is in the Sefer B'nei Yisaschar, by the Reb Hirsch Melech Dinever, writes in his Sefer B'nei Yisaschar, he writes as follows, V'nirali, beautiful answer, an additional consideration, Mishum de Mahadrinan Kalmada Efshar, Likros HaParshio Shemavur Behem Chalukas HaOretz B'mei Bein HaMitzar. He said, we want to read the Parsha that talks about splitting up Eretz Yisrael in the weeks that talk about Bein HaMitzarim, in the weeks that are between Shiva Asar B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av, in the 3 weeks. Why? Because these parshios remind us that we should be encouraged, we should be reassured, we should be ensured that although we are in Galus and we're mourning the Churban Beis HaMikdash, let us all remind ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us there will be a Chalukas HaAretz, we'll have the opportunity to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore writes the B'nai Yisaschar, we specifically want to read parshios Matos Masei in the middle of the 3 weeks. And therefore, if we're going to already catch up in Chukas Balak, then Bantos Masei is going to turn out to be before the 3 weeks, which we wouldn't want. Secondly, he says, Parshas Pinchas, we want to end up in the 3 weeks as well, because Pinchas talks about all the Yamim Tovim, all the Karbanos. We're going to have the opportunity once again when we have a Beis HaMikdash to offer Karbanos, to experience Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael, Aliyah LeRegel. And therefore, he says, we want Pinchas and Matos Masei to be in the middle of the 3 weeks. If we're going to catch up earlier, we're not going to have that opportunity. Very interesting idea. And I believe this is a compelling explanation, a very cogent answer to a question that many people have asked that you never really know what the answer is going to be. But the Magen Avraham actually gives the answer. B'nai Yisaschar explains what it's all about. And this is a very beautiful answer. Now let's consider the next rung, the next stage of the Shaila, and that is, so if now we have a discrepancy, you have B'nai Eretz Yisrael at one parsha ahead of us. We live in Chutz Laretz, we're one parsha behind. So now what are we going to do about the fact that I'm traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and now I'm going to miss a parsha? What do I have to do? What's my responsibility? So the truth is, the Arzarua, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, talks about what happens if a Tzibur, which is very unusual, that a Tzibur is going to miss the opportunity to lay in a certain parsha. For example, there's a flood outside, a snowstorm, people couldn't get to shul. When we had COVID, we had this for an extended period of time. That's a different story. But what happens when you have a tzibur misses one parsha? For whatever reason, an emergency came up, they weren't able to lane, Balkari didn't show up, nobody knew the laning. So what do we do? What are we supposed to do? Arzarua discusses this and he says, Mashlimin b'Shabbos al-Acharei. No problem. The next Shabbos, when everyone comes to shul, we're going to lane two parshios. Now, it might be a problem for the people in shul. They're not going to be so happy that we're laning two long parshios. But says the Arzarua, this is what we're supposed to do. And this is quoted the halacha in the Ramah, that the second Shabbos, when everybody comes back to shul, they shall lane both parshios because they have to make up for the week before. Okay, now there's a detailed discussion. How exactly do you lane those two parshios? Interesting discussion. Some Achronim say what you do there is, the Shari Ephraim writes, what we do is, the same way when we have Bahar B'chu Kosai, Tazria Mitzora, any double parsha, when do you make the breakdown of the aliyos? What do? Three aliyahs in the first, three aliyahs in the second, and the middle aliyah, right, we have seven aliyahs on Shabbos. So you do three in one, three in the other. And the fourth aliyah, the seventh, right, you split in the middle. You do half of it in one parsha, half in the other. That's what we normally do. Says the Shari Ephraim, that's what you should do here also. You're laning two parshios, let's be fair to both parshios. Let's give 3.5 aliyahs to one, 3.5 aliyahs to the second. That's the way we're going to break it down. Fine, sounds very nice.
Which one
do you lane first, though? The one from last week, because that's what we're up to. So you lay in last week's first, 3.5 aliyahs there. Then you follow that by the second parsha. You lay in 3.5 aliyahs in the second one. And then you're all caught up. Perfect. Most of the Acharonim disagree. The Magen Avraham says, no, that's not what you do. This week, we are supposed to be laying this week's parsha. Now you want to make up for last week? That's a different problem. But you can't take away, you can't steal 3.5 of the aliyahs from this week's parsha. That's not fair. This Shabbos deserves 7 aliyahs. This Shabbos Parsha deserves 7 aliyahs. You can't take 3.5 aliyahs and give them to last week's Parsha. So what you're supposed to do is as follows. The Magen Avraham writes this, and most of the Acharonim agree with him, that what you're supposed to do is the following. You give the Kohen a very, 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 very long aliyah. You give the Kohen the first aliyah, and he's going to be able to read the whole first parsha from last week, and the first aliyah of this week, and then you continue giving the rest of the seven aliyahs in this week's parsha. That is a detailed discussion about what you're supposed to do. Now, all of this is with regard to a tzibur, to a community who, for whatever reason, missed the opportunity to lay in Kriyas HaTorah one Shabbos. What happens in our situation? Is that a community of people? It's one person. One person travels to Eretz Yisrael, or a couple of people travel to Eretz Yisrael. That's not a tzibur. So one person missed Kriyas HaTorah of one parsha. Now he goes to another community, and therefore he's going to miss the Kriyas HaTorah. So what does he do then? Does he have the same obligation? What's he supposed to do? So very interestingly, one of Rabbi Avadi Yosef's children recounts a story from 1977. And he says the following. My father, he says, Rabbi Avadi Yosef, Kasher Shah Baratzos HaBris, he says he went to America. And he writes in parentheses, why did he go to America? You think he was just playing around? You think Rabbi Avadi would have gone to America when he knows he's going to miss a parsha? No way. So why did he go to America? He went, Al Pi Hazmanas Agudas HaRabbanim Baratzos HaBris, he said, he went because he was invited by the Rabbanim in America to come help them out. And that was under the leadership of Rav Moshe Feinstein, he writes. And that is why my father allowed himself to leave Eretz Yisrael even in this tumultuous time. When you don't know where the parsha is, when you're going to be missing something. Otherwise, my father would have never left. That's what he says. So my father went to America under the leadership, under the invitation of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he bumped into this problem. Why? Because it was a Shana Mu'beres. And the last day of Pesach was on Shabbos. And therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, they had one last day of Yom Tif, and they already lay in Parshas Acharei Mos, and Chutz Laaretz they didn't, and now they were one parsha off, he didn't know what to do. What did he do? He comes back, and he realizes he's got a problem. So what did my father do? The son writes as follows. My father came to Shul that Shabbos, and he says, okay, b'mechilas ha-kohanim, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to take the first aliyah today. Kohanim said, okay, remochel, it's okay, you can take the first aliyah. They walked out, whatever they did, they give him the aliyah. He says, I'm going to lay. I hope nobody here in the minyan minds, but I'm going to lane. Everyone's looking at him. We have a balkori here. Why are you laning? He says, no, I know the parsha. He gets up, gets the first aliyah, rolls the Sefer Torah back one full parsha. His first aliyah, he lanes the whole last week's parsha, together with the first aliyah of this week's parsha. And he says, okay, now we're all caught up, and now we can continue on with the program as it was scheduled for this Shabbos. Now, very nice idea. You can only get away with that if you are Rabbi Avadi Yosef, and your shul is very excited to help you out. But if you are not Rabbi Avadi Yosef, I would venture to say nobody's interested in you walking into shul next week and saying, well, I'm going to go and do my own thing. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to take the first aliyah. You walk into a shtiblach and Meir Sharam try to do that next week. You'll be out before you start. So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Again, in the end of that, he discusses, what about the Tircha Tzibura? Is that right? Is that right to make a whole tzibur wait another 10 minutes because you want to lay in the parsha from last week? That's your problem. Who said it's anyone else's problem? Anyway, he says, yeah, from my father, they were all mochel on their kavod. Tircha Tzibur wasn't a problem. Everyone was happy to help him out. Okay, again, if you are Rabbi Avadi Yosef and you walk into the shul, that works. If you're not him, like most of us, so then what are you going to do? That's a problem. So that is the real question that we have to tackle here, and that is the essence, the root of the question really goes as follows. The heart of the issue is this. The Gemara tells us that in order to lay in Kriyas HaTorah, you need to have a minion. Kriyas HaTorah is considered to be Dvarim Shebekdusha, which means it requires a minyan. When we say that Kriyas HaTorah requires a minyan, what exactly does that mean? Does it mean that I have a personal obligation to laying from the Sefer Torah, but I can only fulfill my obligation if I have 10 people in the room? Is that what it means? Or does it mean no? Kriyas HaTorah requires a minyan, and the only people who are obligated in Kriyas HaTorah are a minyan. So say, for example, an individual is not feeling well and is stuck at home and is unable to make it to shul. Were they mevatel the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah? Maybe not. Because it's a chiyuv that the tzibur has. The tzibur, the community, has an obligation that every Shabbos the community must read from the Sefer Torah a certain parsha. But it's not a chovas hayachid, it's not a personal obligation that I have. It's something that is mutal al hatzibur, it's something that is incumbent on the entirety of the klal. If for whatever reason I have a reason why I'm not in shul, and it's a valid reason, so okay, so be it. I don't have to make it up. That is the crux of the issue. That is really the question that we have to think about when we worry about this question about whether or not I have to make up the parsha that I missed. That is a major, major discussion in the Rishonim. It seems from the Ramban that this is not a chovas ha-yachid. This is rather a chovas ha-tzibur. This is something that the entire tzibur has an obligation collectively to ensure that every week the Parshas HaShavua is going to be read in shul. But if I, myself, don't have the opportunity to go to shul for whatever reason, so okay, that's not a problem at all. And in fact, some Achronim quote that the Arizal used to daven at home very often, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was health-related, or he felt he would have more kavana at home, whatever it was. And the question then became, well, what do you do about Kriyas HaTorah? So the Arizal said, not a problem. Why? Because Chavas HaTzibur. It's not an individual obligation that every person in the community needs to learn Kriyas HaTorah. No. Now again, don't get the mistaken impression that we can just be flippant and say, well, if I'm not really obligated to learn Kriyas HaTorah, then I don't show up to shul. No, you should show up to shul anyway. If you have a reason why you're not in shul, so then maybe that would be okay that you miss Kriyas HaTorah, that would be fine. Rav Soloveitchik happened to have spoken to his grandfather, Rav Chaim, about this issue. Rav Chaim was of the opinion that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaYachid, and Rav Chaim was machmir that every Yachid, every individual in the community has an obligation to make sure that they hear the Kriyas HaTorah every week. It's not good enough that the Tzibur learned it. I, myself, individually need to make sure that I participate in the Kriyas HaTorah every Shabbos. And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik actually had an issue because very often he would travel from Boston to New York. He went back and forth every week, and he would have to take an early flight on Monday mornings, and therefore he used to miss Kriyas HaTorah back at home very often because he would have to daven in the airport. So my father writes that often Rav Soloveitchik would come to Shir, and they used to daven Mincha at 2:30 after Shir every single day. And the days that the Rav missed Kriyas HaTorah, he would say, by a show of hands, how many people missed Kriyas HaTorah this morning? Now, who's going to raise their hand? Well, you're basically saying that I didn't show up to shul this morning. So who's going to say that? I imagine nobody in the shir. But anyway, every once in a while, Rav Soloveitchik actually did a Kriyas HaTorah at Mincha on a regular day, on a regular Monday, because he missed it in shul in the morning. He's the only one in the minyan who missed it. He was of the opinion that it's a Chovas HaYachid. I have an obligation individually to make sure that I lane from the Sefer Torah. And therefore, even though everybody else in the Tzibur may have done it, I have not fulfilled my own obligation. An interesting point to consider is something that I think a lot of people don't know. The Magen Avraham actually writes, he's talking about Din and Shulchan Aruch, and he says, from this Din and Shulchan Aruch, you see that women share the obligation of hearing Kriyas HaTorah every week, which is something that many women do not know. I've noticed in shul many times, maybe I shouldn't be looking, but I've noticed in shul many times that during Kriyas HaTorah, there are women who are catching up on davening. They're davening Shemona Esrei, they're saying Shema, they're doing other things, because they come late, they don't come on time all the time, so if they're late, that's a great time to catch up. So that is a major question, because the Magen Avraham writes that women share the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah, and they're part of the community, and the same way all men have to read Kriyas HaTorah, so why wouldn't the women have to do the same? Very interesting. However, the Magen Avraham then follows that up by saying, Aval nashim nagu ka'es latseis b'meis ha'knesses b'shas Kriyas HaTorah. He says, we know the practice is that many women walk out of shul when they get up to Kriyas HaTorah. Now, that's not the minig in our shul. They don't walk out. But many women, the same, the equivalent. They're doing other things. They're reading from the Siddur. They're saying Tehillim. They're doing other things. They're not paying attention to the Kriyas HaTorah. So why is that? Why does the Magen Avraham say that even though they're obligated to lay in Kriyas HaTorah like everybody else, why is it that they walk out? Why is it that they're busy with other things? Why are they not paying attention to the Kriyas HaTorah, which they share the obligation to read? So the answer is because the Magen Avraham was talking about a time when women were illiterate. Women were uneducated. So what are they going to do? They're going to sit in shul, listen to the Kriyas HaTorah. They don't know what's happening. They weren't able to follow. They didn't read from a chumash back then. So if that's the kind of situation that you're dealing with, the assumption is going to be, how long do you expect a person to sit around twiddling their thumbs, literally, with nothing to do? It's going to be just a matter of a few minutes until they're going to turn to the person next to them, start talking. Whole conversation is going to ensue. It's going to end up disturbing other people who are in shul trying to listen to Kriyas HaTorah. And that is why the minhag became that women left the shul for Kriyas HaTorah, because they simply couldn't follow. So if I'm not following, what do you want me to do? Sit quietly for 10 minutes? It's not going to happen. I'm going to end up talking to someone. Then I'm going to disturb someone else. So therefore, the minhag was that women left the shul. However, nowadays that women are educated, and women certainly understand the Kriyas HaTorah, they understand the Psukim and Chumash, then certainly women should try their best to be part of this experience of the Kriyas HaTorah as well. So anyway, this is a very interesting discussion. I'll just end with one point. The Mishneh Berurah does say in Siman Sadi, you know, we're talking here about people who sometimes don't daven with a minyan. That's how you get stuck not having a Kriyas HaTorah. So Rav Soloveitchik was flying from Boston, so he didn't have a Sefer Torah. Other times you have emergencies. So what are the circumstances where a person is allowed to daven without a minyan? What is a valid excuse to daven without a minyan? Mishneh Berurah Nechos Tefillah actually discusses it. And the Mishneh Berurah says that It's interesting what he writes. He says there's a difference between hefsid mamon and revach mamon. I'm allowed to skip a minyan if it means that by going to the minyan, I'm going to lose money. I'm not mechuyev to lose money to go down with a minyan. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, I would be allowed to skip the minyan in order not to lose money. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, if all I'm trying to do is be marviach mamon, it's not that I'm going to lose money, it's just that I won't make more. I'm going to miss out on an opportunity to make more money. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, davening with a minyan has to come first. Interesting distinction that he draws. But he says it would be considered a valid excuse, which is interesting to know as well. Obviously, we try as best as we can to daven with a minyan, but sometimes it's not always possible. So if a person has to go to work, and you're at a certain time of the year when Nates is going to be very late, right? This was a big discussion when they were talking a few months ago about the government was going to change daylight savings times. We're not going to have it anymore. So what do you do in such a case? People were talking about it. What are we going to do when the earliest time to daven is like 8:15 at certain times of the year? We're going to have to go to work earlier. What are we going to do then? So I'm not going to be able to leave work an hour into work or 2 hours into work and then go daven with a minyan. That's not possible. It's not feasible. In such a case, writes the Mishnah Berurah, if it's hefsid mamon, my pay is going to be docked because I'm leaving right in the beginning of the day. I have no choice. So you daven in your office and that's okay. But if it's just not to be marviach mamon, that would be a potential reason why we would say that is not valid enough for you to take away from the tefillah b'tzibur. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach adds to that and he says, when it's a tzarech parnasa, the Mishnah Berurah already says you're allowed to skip a minyan. But he says, I think if it's a tzarech brius, it goes without saying, if I need it for my health, I have an infection, I'm in the hospital, I can't walk well, so what are you going to tell me? I should do everything I possibly can to go daven with a minyan? It doesn't make sense. It's going to negatively impact my health. I shouldn't do that. Obviously, I shouldn't do it. And he says, or if it's the tzarech kiyam hamitzvahs, Rabbi Feiner has told me on many occasions, I think, I forgot who he read it from, but he said one of the great gedolim in Eretz Yisrael writes that if it's for the sake of Shalom Bayis also, sometimes you have a consideration of Shalom Bayis. One spouse is not happy that they're leaving through a minyan. In either direction. Sometimes you have a woman who's running out to shul, her husband's not happy. Sometimes you have a man who's running out to shul, his wife is not happy. My wife says to me, it doesn't matter what time of the year it is, winter, summer, the kids need a bath, oh, it's time for mincha, somehow. Every single time, wherever it is during the year, if it's 4 o'clock in the mincha or 8 o'clock mincha, it's always time for a bath, the minute it's time for mincha. So anyway, that is something that we need to keep in mind. It's interesting, I remember when I got married, I was dancing at my own wedding, and you know, sometimes you have an Adam Gadol at the wedding. I mean, sometimes you have lots of people at the wedding. And you notice sometimes that when people dance with the Chasner Kala, they say things to them. What are they saying? I'm never sure. No one can hear them anyway. But and I never know what to say to the Chasner Kala. Like, we've said it all already. What are we going to say now? So anyway, at my wedding, I had many great Rabbanim there who said all kinds of wise words of wisdom. And I thought it was so strange. Rav Asher Weiss came in for my wedding. That was not strange. He came in, and during the dancing, he pulled me over, and he was dancing, and then he said something. I said, what? He said, you're going to think I'm crazy, but he said, there are going to be times in your life when Shalom Bayis is more important than davening with a minyan. And that was such an interesting point to make to me at my wedding. And I was looking at him like, what are you talking about? Like, when will that ever be a conflict? That's so interesting. That Shalom Bayis is going to be more important than a tefillah b'tzibur. Now, obviously, one should try to have a spouse who respects tefillah b'tzibur, but sometimes there's just a lot going on. It's not feasible to leave the house to go daven with a minyan. And what should you do in such a case? You should daven at home. That's what you're supposed to do. I tell this to Hasanim all the time that I meet with. I say, if Rav Asher Weiss said that to me at my wedding, I could say it to you at your wedding as well. And I think that that's something that's worth relying on. Again, you shouldn't make it a habit. We shouldn't be callous or flippant about davening with a minyan. It's a very important milah. It's important as much as we can to daven with a minyan and to have the opportunity of the koach hatfilah that is generated by davening with a tzibur, but sometimes it's simply not feasible. It doesn't fit with whatever's going on in the house, with whatever's going on in the current situation. So we have to keep that in mind as well when we make the calculation of where we're going to daven, how we're going to daven, and when we are going to daven. Okay, let's daven Marav now.